Shabbat shalom. Good morning. It seems like there's been an eternity of debates and campaigning. And finally, this week, the 2008 presidential election is finally going to kick off with the Iowa caucuses. And once again, it's time for America to elect its new leader. And to do this, we have to ask ourselves, what makes a good leader? Now, I want to very clearly state at the beginning, I am not qualified nor inclined to lecture anybody on any particular candidate's qualifications to lead this country. But the issue of leadership, that's an interesting issue. What makes a good leader and why? So a great place for us to begin this discussion and to raise this question is our Torah portion. This week, we begin the book of Exodus, and we're introduced to the greatest Jewish leader of all time, Moses. What makes Moses a fitting leader? What distinguished Moses as God's choice to lead the Israelites out of slavery? It's such a good question that Moses himself asks this question when he's approached by God at the burning bush. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and take the Israelites out of Egypt? Mi anochi ki elech el paro v'ki otzi et b'nei Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. So what makes Moses a good leader? The first quality that stands out about Moses is actually not about Moses himself, but is rather about those who raised him, his family. While Moses lived apart from his Israelite family as an adopted Egyptian prince, he was constantly surrounded by the finest of people. People who showed Moses, by example, what it takes to be a fine person and ultimately what it takes to be a leader. Moses was born in uneasy times. There's a new Pharaoh, and that Pharaoh is fearful that the Israelites are going to continue to grow in number and eventually undermine his rule. So he decrees that all newborn Israelite males are to be put to death. But as Rabbi Sella taught us before, two Hebrew midwives, Shifra and Puah, they don't allow Pharaoh's decree to come to fruition. They defy Pharaoh's murderous orders, and they secretly assist the Israelite women in giving birth. The Talmud tells us that Shifra and Puah are actually not these brave women's names, but rather, it's descriptive titles of what these women did to help in the birthing process. Shifra, the one who helped straighten the body of the newborn, and Puah was the one who would cry out to a baby with soothing words to put the newborn at ease. The Talmud then goes on to teach that these midwives were none other than Yocheved and Miriam, Moses' mother and sister. That later on in the narrative, Yocheved and Miriam try to ensure that Moses escapes Pharaoh's decree is almost predictable. After all, they're his family. With Moses, their intervention demonstrates the power of a maternal instinct and the love of a sister. But by recognizing Yocheved and Miriam as the heroic midwives who save all babies from Pharaoh, helps us to understand their true heroism. And it further helps us understand that Moses became a brave leader in part because he came from a family of brave leaders. Let's remember in the story that shortly after his birth, Moses is separated from his biological family. He's found and adopted by the Pharaoh's daughter. Now, Miriam arranges with the Pharaoh's daughter for Yocheved to serve as Moses' wet nurse, which assures that Moses will, in essence, be raised by his real family and that he will have their strong influence. But in addition to his mother and his sister, Moses has other role models. Moses' adopted mother, Pharaoh's daughter, she demonstrates that same commitment to human life as Miriam and Yocheved. When she finds Moses in that basket on the Nile, she could have easily walked away. She could have turned her back and gone on with her life. It would have been the easiest thing for her to do. But in an ironic twist, Pharaoh's daughter defies her father's own decree by saving a Hebrew baby and then raising him in Pharaoh's very home. Yocheved, Miriam, and Pharaoh's daughter, they are all the most significant influences in Moses' childhood. Each of these women, when challenged by oppression and evil, they respond with bravery and compassion. These women raise Moses, and it's therefore not surprising that when Moses reaches adulthood and when he sees the suffering of his own people, he also answers and he responds by leading his people to freedom. Moses' remarkable female role models should remind each of us of the importance of being at our best for the sake of our children. We need to be strong role models for our kids, because our kids, our children, they are watching and they will emulate our example. Moses is able to become a leader because he is shown how to be a leader. Moses was influenced by those who showed him the possibility of righteousness and grandeur. We can do the same for our children. The next attribute that distinguishes Moses is that he is a man of action, and that when he acts out of compassion. When Moses reaches adulthood, he encounters an Egyptian taskmaster who's abusing an Israelite slave. Remember, Moses was the prince of Egypt. He could have simply returned to his palace and his life of privilege. Instead, he comes to the slave's defense. And then after he flees Egypt, Moses comes across some shepherds who are harassing several women at a local well. Moses was a stranger in that land. He did not know anyone involved. He could have walked away. But Moses doesn't turn away. Instead, he bravely assists those women and he saves them. One of those women at the well is Zipporah, and she becomes Moses' wife. Together, they settle down and they begin a family, and life is good for Moses. There is no reason for Moses to return to Egypt, except one: the suffering of his people. And because of the suffering of the Israelites, Moses gives up his comfortable life and he returns to Egypt, ready to fight for the freedom of his people. With the Hebrew slave, with the women at the well, and ultimately with the entire Israelite people, each of these examples, in each case, intervening, getting involved, is inconvenient, and more than that, it's dangerous. It would have been far easier for Moses to go on his own way, to take care of himself. But Moses is unable to ignore the suffering of others. Moses chooses action over apathy. That makes Moses a leader who is worthy for our people. And it also reminds us that that all too often used justification, "it's not my problem," is really no justification at all. For as Jews, we believe it is our problem. As Jews, we maintain that we are the chosen people. During the blessings over the Torah reading, we say, God has chosen us from all the nations, Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim. It's way too easy to look at chosenness as a distinction to be celebrated. That's the easy way. Instead, let's follow Moses' example. We are the chosen people, chosen to fulfill the great responsibility of caring for the world. And like Moses, let's embrace our chosenness by bringing acts of compassion and healing to the world. There's one more quality that we see in Moses in this week's Parsha that qualifies him to serve as our leader: humility. According to our tradition, perhaps more than any other reason, Moses' humility distinguishes him as a leader. Moses led the people out of slavery. He received the commandments from God at Sinai. He led the people through the wilderness towards the promised land. And through it all, through that very impressive list of accomplishments, he remained humble. About Moses, the Torah proclaims, "The man Moses was very humble, more so than any other man on earth. V'ha'ish Moshe anav ma'od mikol ha'adam asher al pnei ha'adama." Today, in our own lives, we are encouraged not to be bashful about speaking of our own achievements. We all have websites, and we create PowerPoint presentations to demonstrate all that we know. And if that wasn't enough, now we have blogs, and we blog about all we do at all the moments in our lives. And in such a world, it's really difficult. It's hard to maintain humility. The Talmud teaches that we name the Torah the five books of Moses because of Moses' humility. Ironically, it's his humility that earns him public recognition. This great honor is given to the man whose ego is most capable of appropriately dealing with such an accolade. Because Moses remains humble, even with all his accomplishments, he's elevated to the highest level of holiness. Moses reminds us that in order to achieve success, we do not need to sacrifice humility. And the example of Moses begs the question, can we still highly regard our achievements if we lose our humility? Strong role models, a tendency to act out of compassion, and his ability to remain humble even after achieving greatness all distinguish Moses as a leader, and furthermore, it makes him an eternal inspiration, a figure of holiness. As we begin the presidential elections, it's my hope and prayer that whomever we select to serve as our next president, that this person embodies the fine traits of Moses and successfully leads our country. Shabbat Shalom.